Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Sarah Gonzalez sitting in for Brian. If the good measure of if the measure of a good president is a commander-in-chief who left the country in a better state than at the start of the presidency, it's difficult to make the case against President Barack Obama. When he took office during the Great Recession, the American economy was on the brink of a collapse and unemployment was roughly 10%. President Obama made several difficult and often unpopular decisions at the time, but the result, almost 8 years later, is the employment rate has been slashed in half and the U.S. has enjoyed the longest streak of job growth in its history. Obama's success is evidenced, perhaps, by his rare distinction of having as high a favorability rating today as in the early stages of his presidency. My next guest documented this success in his new book, Obama's Legacy, What He Accomplished as President. He is Michael Days, the managing editor of the Philadelphia Daily News, the first African-American to lead the paper in its 90-year history, and he joins me now. Michael, thank you for joining me, and welcome to WNYC.
And Sarah, thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Okay, so first I have to ask you, I imagine you wrote and completely finished this book about Obama's legacy before the presidential election.
Absolutely.
If you had known the outcome, or maybe you knew the outcome, if you knew what it was going to be, do you think you would have written the book differently?
Well, you know what? After the election, I felt like I'd really done a really important and powerful thing, because I think what he accomplished in 8 years really did need to be documented. And we can all now follow along to see what changes and what does not.
Okay. And you start your book with an anecdote from 2009, a five-year-old boy named Jacob Philadelphia, who is the son of a former White House staffer who had asked the president if the president's hair was like his hair. And I think a lot of us remember the picture of
Absolutely.
Obama leaning down for the little boy to touch his hair. Why did you start your book with that anecdote?
Because I think for a lot of Americans, particularly Americans of color, it was really a testament to the fact that a person of color, of African-American man, was president of the United States. And I think many of us had to sort of touch ourselves and pinch ourselves to really believe that it actually had happened. And what that little boy was really doing, saying, I want to see that you're just like me.
And I want to play a clip of President Obama. This is when he was campaigning for Hillary Clinton to win the White House. And this is what he had to say.
My legacy is on the ballot. All the work we've done over the last 8 years is on the ballot.
Does Obama's legacy change now that Donald Trump has been elected?
Well, I think if the population who voted for Obama, who cares about Obama, who cares about legacy, I mean, they're going to have to be witness to what happened and to fight for his legacy. I mean, the reality is, as you started out with the opening, no one can take from him the fact that he really and his advisors really fixed the economy. We were what was nicely called a Great Recession, but we were, you know, 2 seconds away from a depression. There's been a lot of talk about, for example, Obamacare and, you know, repeal and replace. Well, we're hearing more now that, well, maybe we'll repeal it, but maybe it'll stay in place for another 2, 3, 4 years, because it's going to be really hard to unbundle. There are a lot of things like that, but I think the Americans who believe in what he did over 8 years are really going to have to be vigilant. This is not a dictatorship. It's democracy.
And you write that for many people, Obama's departure will be as emotion-filled as his swearing in, and that his record deserves to be celebrated. You say that some of his accomplishments are more unsung. What are some of his unsung accomplishments?
Well, I mean, here's one that people are going to be paying attention to. And I will admit, I guess, as a boomer, that I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to the sort of the clean water, clean environment movement, where he was really in the vanguard and bringing another 189 countries together for the Paris Initiative, Paris Act, that basically had all the leaders of the planet saying, we're going to work on this global warming thing. We've got to fix this because this is the only planet we have. That's one of the huge things. I think he didn't get a lot of credit for increased funding for schools. I mean, education is a huge thing for him and the First Lady, and that there was additional money spent on those kinds of things. There are a lot of and just being a decent, inspiring leader with really, people joked about him that, he was no drama Obama. Well, we got a lot of drama. And I think people got to like that. They didn't think they liked that, but I think they did.
And listeners, what do you consider to be some of the president's greatest accomplishments or failures while in office? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. We are speaking with Michael Day, managing editor of the Philadelphia News, and he is author of the new book, Obama's Legacy, What He Accomplished as President. I want to ask you about maybe some of the president's shortcomings.
You know, in the end of it, I felt like he was a guy who could have been really much more powerful in terms of talking about race and not, you know, we've been talking for years and years in this country about having conversations on race. I'm not so sure that's what we needed, but, you know, maybe some, you know, fireside chats with Americans in the evenings on television, just talking about his perspective as somebody who is a child of a white mother and an African father, and having, you know, lived in a number of foreign countries and having had to try to figure out his own life. I think he could have been powerful in that way.
And right, some in the black community have criticized Obama for not doing enough for the black community that helped elect him both times. I think they acknowledge that some of his policies, like the Affordable Care Act, helped black Americans get health care, but not really so much like the government history with racism, I guess. But what about like policies like solitary confinement or fair sentencing, which really disproportionately affected people of color? Like, I'm thinking of the sentencing for crack cocaine possession
Very
versus
big on
powder
that.
Cocaine.
He reset the table on that. The government reset the table. You know, for years and years, it gives back to President Clinton. It was all very disproportionate. If you were convicted of selling cocaine, your sentence was much lighter than those who were using crack cocaine. And that sort of goes back to the belief that the people who were using and selling crack cocaine needed to be off the streets. Well, you know, you're talking about you're getting 2 years for cocaine use and maybe 12 years for crack cocaine. And it was just, I mean, to be honest about it, frank about it, it's racially disproportionate because people who were selling crack cocaine were primarily black and brown people.
And I think one of Obama's legacies is going to be, you know, he's been called the deporter in chief for deporting more immigrants than past presidents combined.
Yes.
Will that be a part of his legacy? I mean, by that token, Donald Trump has vowed to deport many more people than Obama.
You know, you cannot deny he was very aggressive in deporting those who had been involved in violent acts. But, you know, you have to give him the credit for trying to, the Dream Act and really trying to, well, he had for a minute. Allowing those young people, I think if you came to this country before you were 16, you were able to get a Social Security number and able to get the documents so that you could work. The Supreme Court overturned that, and it's hard to imagine that our incoming president will try to support that act. But, you know, I'm a believer in democracy and Americans, and I think people, you know, as the young people say now, they have to be woke. And, you know, everything happens in 2-year terms around here. People can be reelected or new people can be elected. So it's going to happen when you look at the number of the Latino population in this country. People need to just sort of take charge.
Okay. And I want to go to some callers. Maybe we have some woke callers.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay. Let's go to Stephen in Airmont, New York. Stephen, welcome to
Hello.
WNYC.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, first of all, I'm going to miss President Obama very much. Second of all, I would just like to say that his ability to have gotten anything done in the face of obstruction, congressional and Senate obstruction, which is historic, and I think a lot of it is based racist intent, is a testament to his perseverance. And everyone needs to remember is where we were 8 years ago at this time, economically especially. And then a cool, steady hand came in instead of a guy who I consider to be a cross between a big bad wolf and a hot air balloon.
Okay, Stephen, thank you for your call. We're going to go to Troy now in the Bronx. Hi, Troy.
Hello. Mm-hmm. First of all, good afternoon or good morning to you and your guests, and thanks for taking my call. I will always regret the true lack of visible support that President Obama showed toward the African-American community. Under his watch, we had more African-American men murdered by police. We've had more damage due to the employment crisis or the lack of employment. We've had more over-policing of our communities. The populations in prisons have just not changed or been grown worse. I'm impressed that someone would write a book giving this president kudos, but I am so glad for a change. I did not vote for Trump, but in terms of Obama's legacy, it's a joke to me. And I just think that we've been too much willing to be excited and even told to be charmed by this first black president. But otherwise, he was the black president for a capitalistic society that has done nothing for a struggling African-American community except make it worse.
Okay. And Michael, do you want to comment on that?
Well, I hear your comments, sir, but I definitely do not agree with you. In fact, the federal prison population, the federal prison population, which the president has some control of, is really declined. And I always say to my fellow African Americans who have similar comments, you know, if you're not standing in a bread line right now, the president did quite a bit for you, because we are Americans and the economy is much better. Are people, is it nirvana? Absolutely not. Are people working two or three jobs to make ends meet? They definitely are. But we were, if you go back and read about 1929, 1930, which was the Great Depression, you will understand how much we have benefited from his presidency.
Okay, now let's go to Nick in Brooklyn. Hey, Nick. Nick, are you there? There you
can
are.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. I'm coming from the left, and whatever criticisms I have of Obama are from the left, but I do value his presidency a lot, and I think his greatest contribution is something that I wouldn't know how to measure, but I think what it is that he gave this country a kind of a hypodermic shot in the arm of values, of compassion, of thoughtfulness. And if you remember, I think that was really missing with under W, and I'm really afraid of where it's going to go now, but And I don't think that he lived up even to his own values. They were really, he set a very high bar for himself and for the country. And I kind of appreciate that more than anything else.
All right. Thanks, Nick, for your call. And let's go to John in Red Bank. Hey, John, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm a big supporter of the president, and standing here reading the articles and seeing the slow motion gear up for the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, and very frustrated. And what I'd really like to see the president do is avail himself of every opportunity between now and January 20th, and even then afterwards, forget some outdated notions of decorum about what the president, the ex-president should do. I would like to see him fighting and availing himself of every opportunity to talk up the Affordable Care Act, and also with the First Lady, the Christmas tree lighting, bring in, people from all over the country who've gotten health care because of the Affordable Care Act. Just every opportunity he should be availing himself of, and it's it's frustrating, and I know he's, obviously concerned about it, but, he still has the platform. He's still the one in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and I'd really like to urge him, through any way possible to use that platform to talk it up.
Okay. And on Twitter, we're getting some comments. People want you, Michael, if you could talk about his foreign policy legacy.
Well, that's to be determined. You know, we've got when he arrived as president, the Middle East was quite a mess, and it continues to be quite a mess. And we've all learned that you cannot just say, okay, we're done with war, and we're bringing our troops home, because once the genie's out of the bottle, that's not that easy. I'm not so sure we're going to know what his legacy is in this current new administration or from some administrations to come.
And you divide the chapters in your book into categories like women, immigrants, right, foreign policy, and you describe the president, basically all of his accomplishments. But I'm wondering, with immigration, for example, you list his accomplishments. You say, like, the DACA students who received work permits and were saved from deportation, that could potentially go away under the incoming president. What does that say about his legacy? Like, will it still feel like a legacy if in the next 4 years nobody is benefiting from some of the things that he did?
Here's my take. We know what is possible. And as Americans, I think those who feel this country that was based on immigrants and immigration, if they feel like they should push for that and vote for that and have legislators that represent their feelings, we can make that happen.
Okay. And what about, I think the first legislation that Obama signed into law was the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. Take us back to 2009. Like, what did that tell us about the type of president that we were going to have?
Well, I think it said that here's a president that believes that all people, all men, all women, should be paid equally for the same work. And, you know, while it has not necessarily provided equal pay for women and men, because, I mean, nobody believes that has actually happened, what it has allowed is for women to sue their employer without worrying about when that discrimination took place. Employers have to really deal with the fact now that if they're discriminating against women, there's definitely going to be consequences. There should be consequences.
What about Obama Joe Biden memes? Do you think that'll go down as part of the president's legacy? Have a favorite Obama?
No, I don't have one, but they're all funny. And those two. I think initially they, you know, when they were both running for president, they weren't all that close. But you know, that's a clear brotherhood there between those two guys.
All right,
it's great to see.
All right, I think we're going to end it there. Michael, thank you so much for coming in. Michael Day is author of the new book, Obama's Legacy, What He Accomplished as President. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, filling in for Brian Lehr. Coming up, why don't we have a better flu shot? We'll be right back.